Tonight I want you to take your Bibles, turn to the book of Matthew. I want you to turn to the 13th chapter. I want you to read verses 20. I'm going to read verses 24 and 26, and then skip and read verses 31 and 32. But while you're getting that scripture, let me tell you about Brother Gene Rosenbaum. He's my buddy. I like Gene. I like big folks, and Gene, big folks, and you know, you don't get in trouble when you got big folks around you, amen. But I never had met Brother Gene, and he was pastoring over at Pine Mountain Valley First Baptist Church. But I knew one of his deacons, who's now a pastor in another church, and I had lunch with him on a Monday following their service on a Sunday. And this deacon of Gene's was just all up in the air. And he said, "Man, my pastor preached a dynamic sermon yesterday." And I said, "Which one of mine did he preach?" But but anyway, I'm getting there, Gene. He said, "He preached a sermon entitled Red Ribbon Chickens." I said, "What?" Yeah, I said, "Tell me about it." So he got to telling me about that sermon. Now keep in mind, I don't know Gene from Adam's house cat. Well, I was real impressed over that sermon, so I took me some good notes on it, and strangely enough, I felt led to preach it Sunday morning at my church. And I recorded that thing, and I preached it a whole lot better than Gene did. But I recorded it. And about a year or so later, Gene called me and said, "How about come down to my church and run revival for me?" Said, "Okay, be glad to." So I came down, and back then we were real heavy into the radio ministry, and I was doing tapes and whatever to promote the raise some money to pay the bills and all of that. And I had a tape offer I had put together. And guess which sermon was in that tape offer? I didn't think anything about it. Gene didn't either. So Gene bought a set of the tapes. I'm glad it was on Friday, because if it was on Friday, I probably wouldn't have got to come back. And I got it back through the grapevine about how sorry a scoundrel I was to sell a man's sermon, I mean, to steal a man's sermon and then sell it back to him. And my problem said, "You didn't do that, did you?" "Oh, yes, I did." "Amen." Got a few copies left. If you would, stand for the reading of God's Word tonight. Matthew 13, verse 24. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which soweth good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares." Now I want to read Matthew 13, verse 31. "Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is like to a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, but when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof." Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you, God, for the blessings of this week. Thank you, Lord, for three precious souls that the devil can't have anymore. Thank you, God, for lives that have been touched and lives that have been changed. Thank you for friendships that have been forged. God, just fellowship that's been enjoyed. Father, as we come to the waning hours of this revival meeting, God, I pray tonight that you would just open up the windows of heaven, pour your blessings out upon us. And God, again, I pray, just do it one more time, Lord. Father, anoint me to preach the gospel that you've given me, Lord, in a way that would bring glory and honor to you. Father, I pray if there be one here tonight that doesn't know you as their Savior, that this would be the night, Lord. Lord, if there be one who's grown cold and indifferent, draw them back to you, Lord. Have your way, Jesus. In Christ's name I pray. Amen and amen. If you know much at all about me, you know that I kind of live by the motto when it comes to worshiping the Lord and being in service. If I can't have fun along the way, I'm not going. If you don't want to have a good time, don't invite me. Amen. I just feel like you ought to have a good time wherever you're going. I'm sick of people who know how to do church but don't know how to worship. Amen. You know, when you learn how to worship God, you're going to have a good time. You'll smile, you'll cry, tears of joy, you'll laugh. You might even run a lap or two around this tent. I don't know. When God gets a hold of you, right. But I like to have a good time. Seem like we've got too much in our churches where we just want to sit and, you know, too many of us come forward to join the church, gave the preacher our hand, he said, sit on the front bench. And when he said, sit down, we thought that was a great commission. Amen. I'm telling the truth, amen. And we sit there and we're the frozen chosen. But, you know, I don't want to be that way, and I don't ever want to be that way. I don't want to go so far the other way, though, that I bring disrespect to God. We need to always remember that we're doing what we do for the Lord. But I believe He has a sense of humor. In fact, I know God has a sense of humor. But I'm looking at all y'all. Amen. Amen. And y'all know it because you're looking at me. Amen. Tonight, in this scripture, I want you to know something before I even get there. Now, just looking at the scripture, though, I want to tell you, and you can say amen to this if you want to, I'm not a normal preacher. I've realized that a long time ago. The passage of scripture I've read tonight, most preachers would look at it and they'll preach you a sermon on faith. The faith of a grain of mustard seed. I look at this passage of scripture and you know what comes into my mind? Wonder what kind of birds was in them trees. Told you, I'm not normal. I didn't ever try to be normal. But verse 32 says that. Says, so shall the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. There were some birds in those trees. That's what I want to look at tonight. I want to try to figure out tonight what kind of birds was in that tree. And if a parakeet flies in this tent tonight, we're going to close up shop and go home. Amen. There's a great comparison between this tree and the birds that are found in it and the church and the people who are found in it. Now, get that. If you don't get that, you've missed the whole sermon. Let me say it again. There's a great comparison between the birds that are found in that tree and the folks who are found in most churches. As we go through this tonight, I want you to see if you can think of somebody in your church that fits one of these descriptions I'm going to give tonight. Come a little closer with it, and you might ought to see if you fit any of these descriptions tonight of these birds. Now, the first thing I want you to notice about this tree is that it once was a small seed. The Bible makes that clear. The smallest among seeds. However, it grew and it grew and it grew. How many of you know that if you'll do the right things, you'll grow? It's just the law of nature. If you put a seed in the ground and it's got the right soil with the right nutrients, the right amount of water, the right amount of sunshine, if all the ingredients are right, the natural byproduct will be that seed will germinate, it will sprout, and it will grow. And if you keep doing things correctly, it will continue to grow until it becomes a very large tree. I mean, have you know tonight that that's the same way it is in church work? We start as a little seed of faith. But when we continue to do all the things right, when we bring the right nutrients of the Word into our life, when we are watered by the Spirit, when we enjoy the warmth of the Holy Spirit and the Son of God, the right things are done, then the right things will happen, and you will begin to grow. And when you continue to do the right things, you will continue to grow. Somebody say amen to that. If we're not growing, we're not doing something right somewhere. I'm not being judgmental tonight. I'm just telling you that. If you plant a garden and some of the plants don't grow, you didn't do something right somewhere. Or something was wrong. Well, amen. Glory to God. But as it grew, it got bigger and bigger and bigger. And then it finally got so big that the birds of the air would come and light in the branches of the tree. So it is the Christian faith. The bigger you get, the more birds that'll be lighting on your branches. Now the tree, and I want you to get this, the tree has no say-so to which bird lights on its branches. It's just there, open for any bird that wants to come in. I got on this a little bit the other night. I'm going to get on a little bit tonight. God help us to be a church that's got our branches lifted up and open for anybody that wants to come and worship the Lord to come and nestle in our tree. Amen. Too many times, and I'm not going to stay here, I'm just going to hit this and go. But too many times we say, well, we can't fill our church. When the truth of the matter is, we can't fill it with people who are like us. Amen? We can fill our churches if we'll just open our branches to whoever wants to come that way. Well, amen. A mustard seed, it grows. A wheat seed will grow into a shaft of wheat if it prevails. But let me tell you something now. I read another parable in here. The tree will grow. The wheat will become the wheat. But a tare will always be a tare. It never produces anything because it's not capable of it. It's a fake. It's an imitation. Let me tell you something tonight. The wheat has its limitations. They're called tares, the imitations of tares. Church has got its imitations too. There's coming a day though, oh hallelujah, and it ain't far off, folks. When you go to having earthquakes in LaGrange, Georgia, and Columbus, Georgia, his coming is not far off. Amen. But I'm going to tell you something. The church has got imitations also. But there's coming a day. It won't be long. There's going to be a separation of the wheat from the tares. But tonight, that's not my sermon. That's all in the setup. I want you to see the tree, how it's grown, how its branches are exposed, and any bird that wants to can come to life and find safety in that tree. Now the church is the same way. When there's some birds in local churches, amen. Somebody ought to say amen to that. There are some birds in our churches. And I want to look at some of them tonight, and we're going to have a good time. Look at your neighbor and say, we're going to have a good time. First bird I want to look at tonight is the cardinal. I believe there's some cardinals in some of the trees, brother. I just do. You know, the cardinal, he kind of got that old big red breast. Of course, you got a robin red breast too. But let me tell you some characteristics of a cardinal and see if you can find anybody in your mind like this. Due to his color, he's always very visible in the tree. Oh, amen. And due to his position in the tree, he's not hard to find. He usually sits in the top branches of the tree. In fact, if he can't sit in the top branch, he's probably not going to light in that tree. Amen. You know what? It's hard to believe, but there's some church members just like that cardinal. They come to the tree or the church just to be seen for the colors that they have on. Where is Stoney tonight? Amen. Hey. Couldn't help that, brother. Amen. They come to the tree and they've got to have the best position in the tree. They're not going to take a second position. They come to see and to be seen. Now he'll work in the tree, the cardinal will, as long as he can be the boss. But when he can't be the boss, he'll take his ball and bat and go home. Amen. And he'll get mad if he's not recognized for what he's done in the tree. Oh, my, 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 my. I don't need to stay there. Amen. Sometimes we're all like that cardinal, thinking a little more highly of ourselves than we should. Did y'all hear that? Let me say that again. Sometimes all of us are like that cardinal, and we think we're just a little bit better than what we really are. Sometimes we preachers sit back and listen to another preacher and say, well, bless God, if I'd have been a preacher that, I'd have done a whole lot better. Amen. Amen. We think a lot of ourselves. I asked my wife the other day, I said, honey, how many really great preachers do you think there are in this world? And she said, probably one less than you do. Amen. We singers lit. We critique other singers. We said, well, if I'd hit that note, I'd hit it dead center. I wouldn't have hit it flat or sharp or slurred it up. Oh, they just get on my nerves. Slur it up. We could do it better, couldn't we? Yeah. Sit back listening to the teacher. Well, if I'd been going to teach that lesson, I'd have brought this out and I'd have brought that out. Why wasn't you teaching it? Oh, well, amen. But we all think ourselves a little more than we really are. And as I got thinking about this, I got a poetic inspiration when I got to thinking on these lines. And I got to thinking about some folks in the church, and I wrote some little poems about them. I'm going to read them to you. Now, I'm going to use myself as the pastor, not Brother Vernon, but myself, because I don't want to insult him. But listen, I get to thinking about myself like this. The pastor, I think in terms of Dr. Reverend Aaron McCullough. Pastor, teacher, hoping he's the main feature instead of just, hey, preacher. Y'all like that? Woo! Hallelujah! Got more to come. I got thinking about the chairman of the deacons. Now I'm going to age myself, right? I'm going to date myself. Y'all remember J.J. on Good Times? Dynamite, yeah. Chairman of the deacons kind of get thinking like this. He's one of them cardinals too sometimes. They say, here comes the judge. Here comes the judge. Everybody knows that he is the judge. Deacons tremble at his might. Pastors faint at his sight. For he is the chairman, dynamite. I hate to even do this next one, because there ain't never been a more humble person born than Martha Prather. But I hate to do this next one. She ain't here tonight, is she? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And y'all don't give her the tape either. The piano player get to thinking kind of like this. Some folks say that my music is a savage beast tamer. That's because they mistake me for Floyd Kramer. Woo! Don't you go get that tape. Sit down. sometimes the song leader will get to thinking a little more than he should of himself. And he begins to think something like this, and I opened my mouth and began to sing. Next thing I knew, the bells of heaven rang. Don't worry, church, I'll sing for you soon. And you surely will love it when I begin to croon. These are copyrighted. Don't even think about stealing them. Amen. And I'll give you one more. Sometimes as teachers, we get like that cardinal. And we think a little more of ourselves than we should. Teachers think something like this. To my students' wishes for me to teach, I would succumb if them dummies weren't so dumb. Don't we all get like the cardinal every once in a while? Do you think there's any cardinals in your church? Yeah, amen. How many of you are thinking about somebody right now? Hold your hand up. I got news for you. Somebody might be thinking about you. Amen. Well, glory. But then there's another bird that's in that tree. Not only do we have cardinals in the tree, I believe we got some mockingbirds in the tree. Woo! You know what a mockingbird does? Repeats everything he hears. Some of y'all are old enough like me to remember Hee-Haw. And remember one of the famous lines on that, when the lady said, you'll never hear one of us repeating gossip, so listen close and get it right the first time. You know, a mockingbird don't bother with the facts. They just tell whatever they've been told. Amen. A mockingbird doesn't think up original thoughts. He just repeats what he's been told. Too dumb not to listen. Amen. Now, I want to give y'all a little wisdom, a pearl of wisdom here tonight. If the mockingbird would tell you about somebody, who do you think they're talking about when you're not there? Amen. When the mockingbird says, I'm going to tell you something, but don't tell anybody I told you. You need to just tell them, don't tell me. Amen. I can't help but remember something my mama said. It's a good thing she's in a nursing home in LaGrange, Georgia tonight, or she'd get real mad at me about saying this. I told y'all, as long as I can remember, she's been a organist, pianist, a teacher at Hillier Baptist Church. Daddy was a deacon, long as I can remember. But there was this one particular lady who went all through the neighborhood and told everything she knew. I distinctly remember one time my mama looking at her and said, Lord, there goes that walking newspaper. I never forgot that. You know, a lot of folks are just like that, Brother Vernon. They're going to walk, they're going to talk, they're going to tell everything they know, whether it's so or not. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that in there. Amen. But not only is there a cardinal and a mockingbird in the tree, I believe there's some woodpeckers in the tree. Ooh. What are some characteristics of a woodpecker? Well, number one, they're always making noise. Them things are aggravating and they won't ever shut up. How many of you have ever had the displeasure of waking up to a woodpecker in a tree outside your window? You might as well forget going back to sleep, because it's going to be on and on it goes. But let me tell you something. What's another characteristic? How's he making that noise? He's always knocking something. Oh, y'all let that one sink in a minute. Always knocking something.
never has anything positive. He's always attacking the tree. Amen? And every way he attacks it, he leaves a hole in it and leaves it open for any kind of infection that won't. There's all kinds of woodpeckers in the church. They'll come, they'll make a little hole here. Infection will get started. There ain't nowhere around to treat it. You know where they're at? They're making another hole. Amen. Well, glory. Y'all shout me down when it gets too happy now. Amen. You know, the woodpecker, as far as he's concerned, everything's the tree's fault. Ain't nothing ever his fault. It ain't his fault that them holes are in the tree. Yeah. Sad to say, but they're birds like this. Always attacking and blaming the church for what's wrong in the church when they're the problem. Ain't it the truth? It's a little humorous, but it's the truth. You got some folks I don't think the Lord himself could please. You couldn't take a pleasing stick and beat them to death with it and please them. They're just going to be upset about something. Woodpeckers. Then you got another bird in that tree. I believe you got some owls in the tree. You know what the owl's famous for? He always has one response. You know what it is? Preacher told him somebody needed to be saved. He said, somebody needed to give their tithes and offering. Oh, hallelujah. Somebody needed to go witnessing to the lost. You know what he's always, what else he's famous for? He can turn his head around 360 degrees. He can have his body going one way and his head's looking the other way. Boy, I got some church, I had a lot of church members like that. Amen. They were walking with you, but they wasn't interested. They were looking the other way. You know what? You can't go forward looking backward. Amen. I got a daughter sitting right here who is living proof of that. I say this behind her back. I say it in front of her face. I love her. She knows it. But when that child was coming up, she was absolutely the nosiest child I've ever seen in my life. You could have a bunch of adults in a room talking. You'd say, Heather, go get me a glass of water. Go do something. She'd start to leave the room. And she was so interested in what was going on. She was doing like that. We sat and watched her walk right into walls and doors and everything. You know what? You can't do that. You got to be looking the way you're going. Somebody say, that really happened, preacher. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, that one really happened. Amen. That's not preacher talk right there. Kind of reminds me of Max McCord, pastor at Rosemont Baptist Church. Tells this story. Said he was bad to spin yarns with his children when they were little and just tell them all kind of gollywalkers. Then one day they left church and he was telling some tale. Said his youngest daughter, Stacy, interrupted him and said, Daddy, say what you're telling us. Is that the truth or are you just preaching again? Well, hallelujah. I think we got a lot of owls in the church, Brother Vernon. Woo! No, not me! Well, I believe we got some crows in the tree, too. Amen. Crow is always fussing about something. I don't think crows even like themselves. Always keeping a ruckus going. Always stealing. You know a crow will steal? Crow will steal things. We'll put it back in the nest. He'll steal it. Well, Brother Aaron, how are you going to try that in them? Well, number one, we got a lot of folks in the church all the time keeping a racket going about something, a ruckus. If they ain't a fussing, they ain't happy, Brother Vernon. I've seen them. You know, you ain't seen us. Oh, y'all just like any other church I've pastored. Y'all, the only thing that's changed is the names. The faces. Y'all even look like some people I've pastored. Amen. Well, glory. I was going to say precious memories, but there ain't nothing precious about some of them memories. Amen. So how you going to tie that in when folks keep a racket going? You know they're stealing something. You know what they're stealing? They'll steal your peace. They'll steal your joy. They'll steal your happiness. That's just what they do. Well, moving on. I believe there's some chickens in that tree. Yes, chickens are birds too. They are. They're holy birds. I've buried many of them in this chicken cemetery. Amen. Now, Brother Aaron, how do you think there are chickens in a church? How you going to tie that? Well, now I'm talking about that tree now. And if you remember enough about your farm days, you'll know that the only time that the chicken comes to the tree is to roost or to sleep. I bet there's a lot of folks out there that say, I bet there don't many people go to sleep on your preaching. Honey, I put the best of them to sleep. Amen. But you know what? I've learned a scientific fact through 20-some-odd years of pastoring and preaching. And Brother Vernon, you're going to back me up on this. You will too. You will too. All these pastors will. It's a scientific fact that I have learned on my own. People can hear better with their eyes closed. I figured that out. So there's been many times I've been waxing eloquent in a sermon. I'll call his name, Bill Moultrie, up Stovall Baptist Church. Beat anything I ever seen. He'd get over against the wall 3/4 of the way back on the right-hand side. About 2 minutes into my sermon, his head was laid up and his eyes were closed. You know what? He'd come out and tell me what I preached on. So I began to think about that. And I said, well, maybe there's something to this. And then I got to noticing it, Vernon. Every time somebody'd go to sleep on my preaching, when they'd come out the door, all the rest of them would just come by and mumble something, the one that stayed awake. They'd come by and mumble, oh, God bless you, preacher. I'll see you tomorrow night, or something or other. Every one of them that was asleep, they'd come out and say, that was a good sermon, preacher. I enjoyed that. There's only one logical deduction. They can hear better when their eyes are closed. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Glory. That's all I can come up with. Chicken. Just give them, just all do is come to church. Get them a nap. Hello. You know what? I'm probably going to make some of y'all mad right here. I've had a lot of people during the years of my pastoring come up to me and say, Brother Aaron, you're talking about their prayer life. Says, well, the last thing I ever do every night is I start my prayers when I get in my bed. Says, Brother Aaron, I never finish them. I just go to sleep. I wake up and it's the next one. Last thing I did when I went to bed was talk to God and went to sleep. And they're proud of that. You know what I told them? I said, if somebody was continually going on to me and going to sleep on me every time I started to talk to them, I'd get offended. That needed an amen right there. Well, here we go. Coming into the grand finale. Not only were there chickens in that tree, but I believe there were some buzzards in that tree. Buzzards? Oh yeah, buzzards! See, the only time you ever see a buzzard, the only time they ever come around is when a stink starts. woke up. Bless his heart.
Woo!
You've been there, done that, haven't you, buddy? Hey, you get a little stink stirred up in the church and look up, and here comes them buzzers. They're circling. There comes, you say, haven't seen you in 6 months. What you doing here today? Don't have one of them business meetings. Well, I come to vote my conviction. Well, who give it to you? You ain't been here to know what's going on. Well, bless God, I'm a member of this church, and I'm going to vote this morning. Yeah. All the buzzard sees is something is dead. Amen. You know what? Now, this is the truth tonight. A buzzard will circle a beautiful field of lilies, and he'll never see one beautiful lily in that field. But you know what he will see? He'll see some dead, stinking, rotten carcass over in the corner. He'll see that. You know why he sees that? Because he's a buzzard. And what you are determines what you see and what you do. Now you can just take this any way you want to. But if you fly around God's beautiful church and all you ever see is what's dead and rotten and stinking and bad about it, and you never see the lily of the valley, chances are you're a buzzard. Woo! All right. That's good preaching. Amen. What you are determines what you see and what you do. Preacher went visiting one day. He knocked on the door. He's a new preacher in the neighborhood. When he come to the door, this little girl met him at the door. She had a piece of red cellophane stretched across her eyes. She threw the door open. She went running through the door. She said, "Mommy, mommy, mommy." Said, "The preacher's here." Said, "But the preacher's red." "The mommy, the preacher's red. We got a red preacher, mommy." And she said, "Mommy, we got a red ceiling. We got a red one. Mommy, you're red. Everything's red." You know why everything was red? Because it was what she was looking through. You know why we see things the way we see them? Because of what we're looking through. Amen. Some of you may have made your mind up Sunday night after you heard me preach 5 minutes. Don't like him. And you probably sat here for 6 sermons. Didn't like him. And you found something wrong with every sermon. I promise you, you didn't have to look hard. Amen. Some of you, though, come in and promise something. I say, "Hey, I think I like him. He ain't got good sense, but I like him." You know what? You found something nice out of every sermon. I'd have had to look real hard to find that. But you found it. Why? Because what you're looking through determines what you're going to see. You come into Kirkland Memorial Baptist Church. You want to find the blessing? You're going to find it somewhere. You'll find it somewhere. Oh, I got a news flash for you. It ain't all bad. There's some good things that goes on over there. There's some good people that go over there. Hey, if all you're seeing and hearing about is what's wrong, get with a different group of people. Amen. You know what? If you stay around somebody that's negative and down and out, won't be long you'll be negative and down and out. "Oh no, preacher, I'm going to fix them." Okay. Okay. How many of you ever go to the hospital where they got a quarantine sign up with somebody with a highly contagious disease? You say, "I don't have that. I'm going to walk in there and make them feel better." And you're going to come right out with the same thing they got. Hello. Let's try that. What you are determines what you see in this. There was a banker. Every time he turned around, he was telling his secretary that given the right set of circumstances, anybody would cheat and swindle. Kept telling her that over and over and over. Wasn't it a surprise that about 6 months later, they arrested him for embezzlement. He thought because he done it, everybody did. Senior pastor in the church, every time they'd have a staff meeting with his junior pastor, he'd tell them the same thing. You got to watch the women in the church. Boys, you got to watch the women in the church. They'll learn you. Was it any surprise that he was dismissed from his church for immoral conduct with one of the ladies in the church? What you are determines what you see and what you do. But I'm going to tell you something tonight. Headed for the landing. They're not all bad birds in that tree. There's some good birds in that tree. I believe there was some parrots in that tree. You know why? Because a parrot only says what he's been trained to say. Ain't that good? Boy, you get under the Word of God, you get under good doctrine and teaching, and you learn, don't respond to what you want to say, but respond how you've been taught by God to respond. The Bible says, let your yea be yea, and your nay be nay. I believe there's some hummingbirds in that tree. Y'all know what's special about a hummingbird? They're always working. Have you ever seen a hummingbird roosting somewhere? No. They're always working. They're always humming while they work. Now somebody needs to hear that. Some of you need to quit singing and just go to humming. Amen. You know, I've heard folks get up to sing. They went, don't listen to the way I'm going to sing this. Just listen to the words. And you know what I want to tell them? No. I want to tell them, it's supposed to be a special you're doing. And if it ain't a special, sit down and shut up and let somebody get up there and sing something special. Woo, that went over real big. Amen. They said, well, God just said make a joyful noise. Somebody needs to tell some folks there ain't nothing joyful about that noise. Amen. But no hummingbirds, it's always a humming while he works. And everything he's doing, now listen to me, everything he's doing by faith. You know why? Because somebody forgot to tell him that his body is too big for his wings, and his wings aren't made to support his body. Scientists will tell you that they don't understand how a hummingbird flies. The wings are too flimsy to support the girth of his body. But somebody forgot to tell him that. And don't you go tell him. Amen. We got them in the church like that. Somebody forgot to tell them they can't do something, and they just out there doing it. Well, glory. I'm going to tell you what else you got in the church. You got some love birds in the church. Yeah, you do. They're just too busy loving each other to notice what's going wrong, Bernie. Too busy loving each other to go gossip about somebody. Too busy loving each other to go and keep a fuss up. Did y'all know that young love is a sickening thing? It really is. Some of you have forgotten that. Try hard. Remember way back. Came back to me about 7 or 8 years ago. My sister had gone through a divorce. The man she wound up marrying had gone through a divorce. It was a bad situation for both of them, but they were childhood sweethearts. And they had dated each other as teenagers. Somehow got separated and went their own ways in life. Now God had brought them back together. And they were dating each other. And then they got married. And then about a month or two after they got married, now she's older than I am. She's 4 years older than I am. She knows better than all this stuff. But we were bowling in a league down in West Point. They said, y'all want to go out and eat? I said, well, yeah, Friday night we'll go out and eat. I said, but we bowl in this league, so y'all just have to come down to the bowling alley and we'll leave and go from there. Okay. So they came down and watched us finish bowling, and we got in the car and go, Vernon. Sickening. I'm telling you, it's sickening. So I got in the car to drive. Normally, you know how when two couples go off, if the man's driving, the other man will get up front, and the two women get back where they can talk, two men where they can talk. Or you're the bachelor. Oh, no, 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 not with them. My sister had to get in the back seat with him and put me and my wife up front. Like, this was really special for her, you know. But anyway, we're driving down the road, and we're going to the eating establishment. I noticed it got kind of quiet back then. Vern and I looked back in my rearview mirror, and it was just plumb disgusting. Just plumb disgusting. They had one of them double lip locks laid on each other. I mean, they're trying to suck each other's face in. I'm saying, oh, my Lord, give me a break. Y'all old enough to do better than that. You know what? They was in love. They was in love. They had lost time to make up for. They wasn't interested in talking about anything I wanted to talk about. They just wanted to love each other. You know what? If we'll just fall in love with God again and fall in love with each other again, we'll be too busy loving each other to worry about what kind of birds are in the tree. Amen.